Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you for, still from our virtual studio. Now, we're not back in Renaissance Bank, but I've got great news. As we tape this show here on right here at the end of March 2021, in 2 weeks from today, on April the 12th, we'll be back. We'll be back inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta. We're excited about that. We're excited about what that means, that things are getting better in this pandemic environment we've been in. But what has not changed through all the turmoil we've been in is how Renaissance has been there for small business owners. And if you're tired of the big bank experience that you may be having, and you know what I mean, automated voices, 1-800 numbers, can't get a live person, all that kind of stuff, then my suggestion for you is to call or go to renaissancebank.com and find their local office, some 200 across the South, ready to serve you, and give them a call. And what you'll be able to do is go in, sit across a desk from someone, and get to know them and see if that's a good fit for you. It's been a good fit for me and the clients that I work with, and I think you'll find that as well. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Peter Chatel. Peter is the CEO, founder, he's Dr. Purpose, I love that title, of the Chatel Consulting Group. Peter, welcome.
Well, thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
So, it's great to have you. And if you could give us an overview on how you're serving folks and the background of that title, I love that, Dr. Purpose.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I, you know, since leaving the Coca-Cola company in 2015, after 22 years, I started my own coaching, consulting, training practice. And the Dr. Purpose comes out of, with every person I coach, I begin with purpose. I begin with helping them clarify their top 5 to 7 core values, what they hold as most important. Their and the associated core beliefs, what they hold as a truth related to those core values, and then also what is their purpose statement. These three things I call the compass for life. And what this offers people is then the opportunity to choose, and it comes down to a daily choice to live into, lean into those core values, core beliefs, and the purpose on a daily basis. And what I've discovered personally and for those I've coached discover is that that leads to profoundly positive performance. So it changes everything. So that's where the Dr. Purpose comes from. You know, what I've done is developed a series of training programs and to support that, I've got 10 principles for profoundly positive performance and offer a training relating to those, helping people to become more fulfilled, live a more meaningful life and more significant life and be more productive in their work life, but also it's not only at life, it's at home and at large. So those three aspects of life. So where and how do you align your purpose with other missions? Well, I treat those two terms slightly differently. Many people don't. I'd acknowledge they're synonymous for many people, but purpose for me is individual. It's personal. Mission is two or more. It's organizational. Mm. And so people, you know, align their purpose with multiple missions typically in life, certainly work, whether it's explicit or they just happen to be working. And they may not view it that way, but when they're getting paid by somebody to spend, you know, the better part of their life working, they are aligning their purpose with that mission. And I try to make sure that that is done in greater alignment, because when people are aligned, purpose to mission. They're more productive, they're more fulfilled, more satisfied, more loyal, and it results in greater productivity for the organization.
Sure. Let's before we get to the outcomes of defining purpose, I want to ask a question about purpose itself, because I would imagine that a lot of clients you work with, the folks you talk to, they may think they already have their purpose. Right?
Well, no one has ever come to me. I've coached well over 100 people. No one has ever come to me with clarity of, I've got it written down, and I'm choosing to live into that on a daily basis. I'm sure there are people, and several have come to me with some sense of purpose, don't get me wrong, and an ability to get there eventually in terms of a statement, but no one has come to me with that written down. And then, as I say, choosing to live into that on a daily basis, it comes to a choice. Like I said, when you have clarity about what it is, that's one thing. But that offers you the great opportunity then on a daily basis to choose to live into it. So, yeah. And, you know, there are some key questions that can help people gain clarity about why they're here, what their purpose is for being here. What do you absolutely love to do that, no one would have to pay you? What are you really talented at? What are your gifts? What are your strengths? Another is, what greatly disturbs you? What greatly disturbs you is a powerful question to reflect on and gain some insights, because typically what greatly disturbs you out of that is something that you want to change, and you're perhaps here to help change. So,
wow, that's you've got me thinking now, Peter. But that's what a thought provoking question that is, and and I can see how the folks that you work with maybe have some things that come out that surprise them.
I don't know if surprise is the right time. It may be surprise, but typically it's there. It just hasn't been. We're not institutional. It's not institutionalized to reflect very deeply on these things for most people.
Right.
We move. We're rewarded by what we have been successful at academically. We many people fall into kind of a career that they just kind of fall into, and they move forward with because they're either good at it or this was the opportunity presented to them, and they're chugging away. But I encourage people to reflect on it. This comes out of my own belief system that we're all here for a reason. I like the question, what question were you born to help answer? What problem were you born to help solve?
Good stuff here from Peter Chatel, folks. He is with the Chatel Consulting Group. Let me clarify. So I know you work with small business owners heading toward transition. You work for nonprofits as well, with nonprofits as well. Yes. Maybe I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about those separately, but both kinds of organizations have leadership issues, and you've got one phrase that I love that I want you to expound on, called "Put Petership in Your Leadership." Explain what that means.
Well, I over my career, and I've been fortunate enough. I have done a number of different things, but I had 7 years of consulting with Arthur D. Little. And then I had 22 years at the Coca-Cola Company. And while at the Coca-Cola Company, had 10 or 11, I think 11 different leadership opportunities, both in global organizations. So had global responsibilities as well as a number in the North America business unit. So, I And I've studied leadership over my 35 plus year career. I have studied excellence. I was a state examiner for the Oglethorpe Award, the Malcolm Baldrige State Award, if you will. I've studied excellence in terms of organizations and leadership. And over that 35 years, I've developed what I call my 10 principles for profoundly positive performance. And so that's what Petership is. It's based on those 10 principles. It's encouraging leaders to be purpose-led, people-centered, process-driven, performance-focused. And in that order, for a reason. I wasn't always in my leadership, did I always have them in that order? Nothing gets accomplished without people. And there's a clarity of purpose that's required in order to get people working in the most productive fashion. And then ultimately, when you get purpose clear and people aligned, there's process involved in order to make things more efficient and effective. And then it's important to know, what you're after. What are the results you're after? So metrics are important. What you measure gets managed, and it's important. People like to win. Mm. I've traveled the globe. There's no culture out there that doesn't like to win, at least that I've met. And so people play differently when you keep score, and it's important. Many performance issues are a result of people not knowing whether they're winning or losing.
Because again, these two types of organizations are different, particularly the small business owner that's aimed toward succession or transition, as the case may be. What are some of the unique issues that you see there for those types of individuals, those types of executives that you help with?
The one success story, if you will, is I'm working with a small business owner, and have been for now 3 years. Part of it is getting the staff is all very much aligned with the mission of the organization. I would say it's part of their secret sauce in terms of what they do and how they do it. They've earned a great reputation, have been successful in getting them focused on what they needed to do in terms of working on the business. They're great at working in the business. As many small business owners are, they love what they do. They're good at it. But working on it in terms of what are the processes to improve our business development, and what were the key metrics? Many organizations are great at the outcomes. So what are the results? But backing up from that, what are some of the metrics in process that will give you a greater idea? For instance, in the business I'm in, in the business they're in, they typically have to issue a proposal to get the work. Mm. So how many proposals? What's the average size of the proposals? What's the conversion ratio? Are you tracking that? Do you know your numbers? Mm-hmm. When you know your numbers, the business you're in becomes more predictable. Mm-hmm. It gets at how many telephone calls do you need to make an appointment? And then how many appointments to get, the request for the proposal kind of thing. So what are the key activities backing up from the results and tracking those and knowing what the conversion rates are? And then also just making sure that the scorecard is visible and compelling to the people working in the organization.
Yeah.
So people know whether they're winning or losing.
Oh yeah, sure. And just to be clear, when you say know your numbers, I mean, you're getting at something more than just knowing what last month's P&L looks like. You're talking about predictive metrics is what you're talking about, which makes perfect sense.
Yes. It's backing up from the results to know what are the key activities. And I mean, one of my principles, and it's all my principles are pretty much common sense, let me tell you. There's, you know, but not everything matters equally. Okay. So a disproportionately small number of things leads to a disproportionately large number of results. This is the Pareto principle. This is the law of Pareto. Most people know it as the 80-20 principle. Okay. Wilfredo Pareto was an economist in the, I think, 1500s in Italy, studied the wealth in Italy. Surprise, surprise, found 20% of the people owned 80% of the wealth. 20% of the landowners owned 80% of the land. Okay. And, you know, let's not get too hung up on the numbers. But I believe that this is a law of the universe that you, you know, you disregard at your peril. And I also believe it can be repeating within itself. So if you go 20 leads to 80, then 20 of 24 leads to 64%, and 20% of 4 is 1. 1% leads to 51% of your results. So my mantra with the people I work with, both nonprofits and profits, is find your 1%.
Mm.
Okay? Because 1% leads to 51%. So, you know, I'll give you an example. My wife danced for Alzheimer's 2 years ago. She raised $117,000. Okay? She had 134 donors. The top five gave her 80%.
She's listening to her husband.
Well, that's just, listen, she didn't plan it that way.
I know. I'm just kidding.
You know, she didn't. Yeah. And it just, that's the way it, I mean, 20% of the restaurants we eat at 80% of the time. 20% of the roads in Atlanta, we travel 80% of the time.
Mm.
It's just, and you know, you can get hung up on the 20-80. Mm-hmm. It's just a disproportionately small number of things leads to a disproportionately large number of results. And so, you know, this is where it's important to know what are the activities that generate the results, right? And to focus and do more of those activities. And the activities that don't generate results, delegate or discard.
Let's talk about nonprofits. And the work you do there. I would imagine the same principle applies to nonprofits, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, say more.
Let's be clear. Now, nonprofits is a culture. Mm. You know, there are cultures, and there's a, you know, and every nonprofit has perhaps a slightly different culture, but nonprofits, it's a tax status. Okay. No nonprofit can lose money consistently and still exist. They call it something different. They call it, you know, surplus that goes into reserves. But nonprofits need to make money. They just call it something different, right? They need to get funds. They need funds to operate to accomplish their mission. And so, you know, I work with those organizations. When I was at the Coca-Cola Company, I was fortunate enough when I was a member of the supply chain organization in North America to pilot the work with Franklin Covey on the four disciplines of execution before they wrote the book. And I became a practitioner of that, a disciple of that. I've used that in other organizations I've led. I use it in my business. I use it with my clients, whether they're nonprofits or for-profits. And the first, you know, discipline of execution is pick your wildly important goals and have no more than three. Many organizations that run into problems try to do too much with too little. And so focus on three or less. What are the most important? This gets back to Pareto. What are the most important activities over the next 6-12 months? And focus on those. Less is more. More is not more. Less is more. And trust the fact that when you execute with excellence on fewer things, that there's a halo effect. And then, you know, it's a matter of accountability, and weekly accountability is for what matters most. Part of the challenge, you know, and many nonprofits, the challenge is they have monthly board meetings, or even perhaps bi-monthly board meetings, or perhaps even quarterly board meetings. And it's hard to establish any momentum with a monthly cadence of, if you will, accountability.
Right.
A weekly cadence of accountability is a requirement for what matters most.
That makes perfect sense. Peter Chattel is with us, folks, and he is the founder of the Chattel Consulting Group. So, Peter, I would guess that nonprofits have purpose down, but you actually distinguish between purpose and mission. And so maybe this is where nonprofits come in.
Yeah, well, and this is where, you know, it's important for leaders to be clear of their purpose and how does it align to the mission of the organization. Mm. So, you know, I had the good fortune of having an opportunity to coach a new CEO to a fairly large nonprofit here in Atlanta, who just moved from a senior staff position into the CEO role, and helped her through that process of personal reflection to gain clarity about her core values, her core beliefs, and her purpose, so that she would be in a better position to articulate that clearly to her followers, her staff, and be clear about, you know, what were her core values, what were most important, what is most important to her, what are her beliefs, and how is that informing them about her leadership style, how she leads, and what her expectations are. She's been very successful. I think she will continue to be very successful in that organization. They're on chart for significant growth, and they offer actually employment opportunities for homeless and people coming out of incarceration. Mm. So it's a wonderful nonprofit called First Step Staffing.
That sounds like terrific work. We'll have to hear more about them. I'll come back to you on that.
Sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've heard a lot from you and it all makes sense, but one thing that I think, sometimes folks, would love to hear, and you're open to talking about this, is what makes you different? I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that are leadership coaches or what have you. But you've defined some real differences for yourself.
Yeah. I think like many coaches out there, but I live what I preach, if you will. So, I am purpose led. I have a purpose and clarity around my core values. Mm-hmm. And I share those with my coaching clients and my clients. But I think for the nonprofits, I certainly have experience in for-profit organizations. And sometimes, I don't try to emphasize that too much because some differences in culture, but there are things that are transportable regardless of the organization, right? And what I would tell you is strong leadership doesn't look any different between whether you're for profit or nonprofit. Strong leadership, okay. And everything rises and falls on leadership, everything. Make no mistake about it. So what I have found, what I've observed is, and this is why there's no prescription for, what's the personality of a strong leader? Well, it's someone who is, at least in my opinion, very connected with who they are. They understand how they're wired as individuals. What's important to them? What are their core values? What do they believe to be truth? And they know why they're here. And they're able to share that with the organization, either explicitly or by behavior. Okay. Because, you know, words are meaningless unless the behavior follows the words.
Sure.
And is consistent. That makes a lot of difference. That's being authentic. That's having integrity. Okay. And when leaders are able to do that authentically, they come across powerfully. There's a power to that. People are attracted to that. There also, you know, obviously there needs to be a vision that leader has for the organization, mm-hmm. and what they see is as you know what the future is, not just, you know, this year, mm-hmm. but where do they see the organization going? Mm. And they have to be able to paint that vision. They have to be able to speak that vision and repeat it for people so that they have an understanding. And they see themselves in that vision. They see the opportunity in that vision for them, in their life, for their career, for their personal aspirations. All of that, you know, they got to, and vision is all about hope. So, you know, leaders have to create hope. And, you know, we're now beginning, you know, come out of this incredible year that we've all experience, right, with this pandemic.
And sure.
Boy, I think, you know, part of it is we're beginning to see, you know, a future with a little hope here as we get, at least in my case, I have recently been back, got my first vaccination 2 weeks ago. Look forward to getting the booster shot. And, you know, with that comes, yeah, some sense of protection and hope of not, you know, suffering the ill effects of this virus. And I'm hopeful also for the ability to interact more freely with other people. We've really missed that, all of us.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
So let's get specific about the kind of nonprofits and small business owners that are good fits for you. I mean, what people that are listening to this, what are the characteristics that they should look for in their organization to say, you know what, that's something I need to bring in Dr. Purpose for?
Sure. Well, you know, I work typically with leaders and their teams. So, you know, it's a nonprofit with perhaps a leader that's new or not a very experienced leader. Typically, they've got some staff that they're working with, they're trying to leverage and get focused and aligned around accomplishing greater impact for the communities they serve. I have a special heart, certainly, for anything that is dealing with racial, social inequities, homelessness. I have a great passion as well for anything that's dealing with sustainability or environmental. That's my background. That's my technical background. I actually joined the Coca-Cola company to start the first corporate environmental program. Mm. I'm currently in the process of kind of refreshing my knowledge around that and plan to go through some training through the Climate Reality Project, which is Al Gore's organization created after he won the Nobel Prize. Bring that into the work I do as well. It is, you know, in terms of business owners, it's typically small business owners. I coach some realtors. My wife's a realtor. Mm. I coach some realtors. I also coach small business owners that are looking probably in that phase of in the next 2 to 4 years looking to sell their business. And I help them build value in that business. I'm a member of two different organizations, the Exit Planning Exchange, which is a whole bunch of professionals focused on helping businesses in that exit planning phase. So I have connections with other professionals to do that. And most business owners, in order to be successful with a sale, require several different parties' guidance and help through that process, is what I would tell you. And then, you know, I'm also a member of Provisors, which is a trusted advisory network. So have access to over 6,000 professionals across the country through that network doing a variety of things. So I'm a connector too. I like to be a resource for my clients to be able to link them into other professionals who are highly skilled at what they do when the need arises. So that's something I've made a real effort to do over the last 6 years in particular, leaving Coke, is increasing my network of trusted professionals. So, you know, in terms of that's who I focus on.
Sure.
In terms of nonprofits, I'm sure there are nonprofits out there I would choose not to work with. You know, I probably am not the best advisor if you're dealing, you know, with wanting to promote assault rifles. I'm not your guy. You know, there are other causes I probably would not align myself with either. But, you know, I've yet to come across those. But, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have a couple of contracts with the Georgia Center for Nonprofits, working with a variety of nonprofits across Georgia now. That's been very rewarding work.
That's awesome. Peter Chatel has been with us, folks. He is the founder of Chatel Consulting Group. Peter, this has been great. And
I think, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you. And I think we need to get to really what the most important question is at this point is, folks that have heard something that they compels them to want to get in touch with you. Why don't you give your coordinates, how they can connect with you?
Sure. Well, I am located in Atlanta, and they can reach me through my phone number. My cell phone is 404-502-2884. They can reach me through my email. It's pchatel, C-H-A-T-E-L, at chatelconsultinggroup.com, or they can go on my website and book some time on my calendar. So that's www.chatelconsultinggroup.com.
Awesome. Peter Chatel, folks. Chatel Consulting Group. Peter, thank you so much for being with us.
John, thank you so much for having me today. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got some task on your desk that really belong on someone else's, and I'm talking about administrative tasks, bookkeeping, things that the ED of a nonprofit or the owner of a small business should really not be engaged in. They should be working on their organization, not right in the middle of stuff like that. I've got an answer that involves picking up the phone and calling S.E. Escobedo over at Office Angels, 770-442-9246. Now, if you're shy or timid, you can go to officeangels.us and check them out. I encourage you just to call Essie, because I work with her and she does tremendous things for my business, her and her angels. And the way it works is she determines what your needs are and she picks an angel or two maybe to fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And they do it on an ongoing or as needed basis. But it starts with a phone call. It starts with a diagnosis of your problem. That's what I would encourage you to do. 770-442-9246 and tell SE that I sent you. Folks, we're coming up on show number, 350, somewhere in there. We've been doing this show now almost 5 years and have featured a lot of great guests like Peter. And here's what I need from you, please. Go find the show on your favorite app, whether that's Apple, Google, Spotify, what have you. North Fulton Business Radio is a search term, and give us a 5-star rating. Now, I'm not asking for that for me or for Business Radio X. I'm asking that for our guest, like Peter, so that folks can find the show and folks may be in need of the services that our guest offers. So if you could do that for us, that would be great. And we would love it if you would connect with us on social media. We're North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, probably two or three others I don't know about. But connect with us there as well. We'd love to have see you there. So for my guest, Peter Chatel, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.